Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today. I always look forward to our times together. They're a blessing for me, and I pray that they are for you. I hope that you're having a great day, both in terms of the weather, your circumstances, but most of all, your walk and your relationship with the Lord. As I film this, it is an absolutely beautiful day here. It's starting to warm up as we get deeper into spring. Again, I'm having to film this early. My surgery got postponed a week, so I'm still wanting to stay ahead as far as in terms of having these caught up in terms of recuperation. But nevertheless, it's a joy to be with you today. I have looked forward to this time. And the best part about it is the fact that we get to be with our Lord. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day that You've given to us. Lord, the opportunity to know You, to walk with You. Father, I pray that You open our minds and our hearts, Lord, as we open Your Word. Give us the understanding. Father, help us to see the doctrinal truths, the theology. Father, the facts that are laid out for us. But Father, through all that, may we know You. And Lord, may we seek not just to know about You, but to personally know You, to walk with You, to trust You, to experience You, to listen to You. Father, be with us today. Lord, draw us close to You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, a moment ago I said I hope that you are having a good day, and I sincerely meant that in all those areas, the weather, whatever time it is you're watching this, the circumstances in your life, your relationship with the Lord. But also realize that you may not be having a very good day. You may be going through a very difficult time in your life. You may be facing some very difficult challenges or adversities, or maybe just a time of uncertainty. I know already today, before I film this, I usually film this right after lunch. I know already this morning I've attended a funeral of a family that lost the family member very, very dear to them. Before I left for that funeral, I had a conversation with someone who is placing their loved one in a medical facility, thinking about end-of-life issues. Had a conversation with someone dealing with an unforeseen medical test, and they didn't even fully understand why they had the test, and all sorts of questions going through their mind, and you know, waiting to find out why this test is being given, then certainly waiting for the results of it. And had yet another conversation with someone who has some financial issues going on in their life. And so, you know, you may be one of those individuals that has a similar problem in those areas or some other area. So while I hope that you're having a good day, this may be a very difficult time for you. And yet, as we open God's Word this morning, we find out how, or this afternoon, whenever you're watching this, we find out how we need to face this. And we find this as we open God's Word to Psalm 33, and we think David is the writer of this psalm. We're not told that. It seems to fit with David's authorship, though we're not certain. But as we look at this, it's very clear that the psalmist is calling on us, pleading with us, leading with us, leading us, rationalizing with us to put our trust and our confidence in the Lord, whatever it is that we're in fact facing. In fact, as we look at this psalm, and it's rather long for a psalm. It's 22 verses long, so rather than read through it in its entirety, we'll work our way through it, and it blends itself very well to that. It helps us to grow and to develop the thought as we go through it. As we look at this psalm, the first thing that we see is the call to trust. That is that call to put our trust and our confidence in God in the very real issues of life. You think about what we see as we look at verses 1 through 3. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new psalm. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. He directs us there by way of praise and thanksgiving to put our trust, our confidence in the Lord, and as that as an expression of our trust in Him. And you think again about what we see in verse 1. where it says, sing for joy to the Lord, you as righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Sing for joy in the Lord. He is the reason. He is our source of strength. It talks about praise being becoming. It's fitting for the upright. Why? Because we have this God whom we can in fact trust in all things. The foundation for our trust in the Lord is in the fact the Lord himself, and he calls us to that trust. You think about whatever it is that you're facing today. You think about what the psalmist is calling for you to do. Again, you may be like one of those individuals I described earlier, a grief, a medical problem, a financial problem, a time of making very serious decisions. God's call is, in fact, to trust him in that situation. And you think about whatever it is you're facing, in that situation, the decision that you're really facing is, am I going to trust God enough to follow him and obey him or not? But I know it's very easy for us to talk about that, because many times it's far more difficult to do it. And let's be honest, you have to ask the very logical question. Is God really worthy of that trust? Can we truly put our confidence in the Lord? Can we really count on him? Yes, we see this wonderful call to trust, but is it really based on anything solid? As we keep looking at this psalm, I want us to see next the basis of trust, why we can in fact trust God. And we're going to work our way through this because there are several elements here that are vitally important that we need to see. Why can we trust God? Well, we see as we continue in this psalm, his righteousness, that is the righteousness of the Lord. Look at verses 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Everything that God does is in fact right. In fact, as you may recall back in Genesis 18, when Abraham was interceding with God on behalf of Lot, as God had revealed to him that he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for sinful lifestyles that, quite frankly, our own nation is pursuing, and that serves as a warning to our nation. But Abraham, as he was pleading with God, he made the observation, will not the judge of the whole earth deal justly? In other words, God, will you not deal right? And the way he's asking it there is the fact that Abraham knows fully good and well that God will in fact do what is right. You and I, the reason that we can trust God is the fact that we know that God is in fact going to do what is right in every situation. That situation you're in, I'm not saying we always understand it, but God is in fact going to do what is right. So we see his righteousness. But notice as well, we're also reminded of the power of the Lord. And we see this in a couple of areas. We see it over creation. Look at verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers all the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You think of the power of God, how he spoke everything into existence. You think of the heavens. You know, a couple of weeks ago, actually, I guess it was last week from when I'm filming this, there was the eclipse. You just think about the precision of this universe that God created, how we can predict when an eclipse is going to happen. Why? Because this universe that God made, as huge as it is, works with such precision, such detail, we can forecast at the exact minute when an eclipse is going to happen. You think about the power and the fact that God spoke all that into existence, how he upholds it together by his power. You think about the God that we in fact have. You think about this great God. What can he not do? And the answer there is obvious. There's nothing he can't do. And so we see God's wonderful power over creation. But then notice as well, we see his power over nations. Look at verses we'll see verses 10 through 12. We're going to look at verses 10 through 11 to begin with. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. It is God who causes nations and empires to rise and fall. You know, the number one issue for our nation, and we face a lot of problems. We're on the edge in so many ways, and overall, quite frankly. But all of those come out of one issue, and this one issue is going to decide us where, what happens to us as a nation, and that is where we stand with God. A nation that is right with God, God will in fact intervene, bless, lift up, deliver, once more reward. A nation that is opposed to him, God will in fact judge, afflict, and bring down. We are where we are as a nation because we've rejected God, we've rebelled against him. And unless we return, we will only continue to go down. But it will be God who in fact decides that. Our God rules over the nations. No wonder we read in verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." As we think about our nations, we pray for it, our number one prayer needs to be that we as a people return unto the Lord. Then God will once more deliver this nation. But we see that God's power is over creation. It's in fact over nations. But then notice as well, we also see the knowledge of God. Look at verses 13 through 15. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, who understands all their works. You know, God knows everything. Let's be very honest. We know very little of anything. And even those few things that we know something about, we only know a small portion of them. Our God knows everything. What an encouragement this is. As we live in this time, quite frankly, of lies, fraud, propaganda, manipulation, we have a God who knows the truth, who sees through all the smoke, who knows. Very little of what we're being told today, and it's been this way for years, decades in fact, very little of what we're told is actually the truth from any source. Sometimes we don't even know what to believe, if anything. God's the one thing we can believe, and God sees it all. We have a God whose knowledge of the circumstance and everything is in fact perfect. But then notice as well, we also see the help of the Lord. Why trust him? We see his power over creation. We see his power over nations. We see his great knowledge. But we also see the help of the Lord, the fact that he personally intervenes. Look at verses 16 through 19. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive from famine. God helps his people, and his help outweighs everything. Again, you think about verses 16 and 17. The king is not saved by a mighty army, a warrior not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. You think about the cutting edge of military power is nothing before God. God is greater, and God does in fact intervene. We see that God in fact rules and reigns over all things. We can trust God because he intervenes for his people. What that king's army could not do, what his cavalry, his horses could not do, God can do for us. God personally intervenes in the life of his people. And we can trust him. The God who spoke everything into existence. The God who causes empires to rise and fall. The God who, in fact, knows everything perfectly. The God who, in fact, is greater than all human power is the God who, in fact, intervenes and works for us. What a God we have. The call to trust him is, in fact, have a solid basis. But as we conclude this psalm, we conclude with a very important point. Yes, we see the call to trust. We see the basis of trust is well-founded. But there's got to be, number three, the response of trust. Think about what we read in verses 20 through 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. He's talking there about the decision to trust, to follow, to apply what He has said, to obey what He has commanded. There's got to be the active decision. You know, you think about such passages as Hebrews 11, that hall of fame of faith, you know, where by faith this biblical character did whatever. Why? They put their trust and their confidence in God, and as a result of that, they followed, they obeyed, they did as He led them to do. And again, you think about the joy, the confidence that comes out of that, as we've already seen in the psalm. You see, the reality is, you and I, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in today, the choice that we need to make is, in fact, to trust this God. You probably have heard, maybe have memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Again, you think about that situation that you're in, that circumstance, and you may be in a very difficult one, like any of those individuals who I spoke to this morning with fears of medical issues, financial strain, trying to care for an aging family member, health concerns. They, like you, like me, like all of us with wherever we are today, everything we face really comes down to a very simple question. Will I trust God or not? We're called to, and that call has a solid basis, but it's got to be the response where we actually trust Him. And I pray that you make that decision to trust Him. Obviously, first of all, in salvation, if you don't know Christ as your Savior. But believer, this is primarily for you and me, that whatever it is we're facing today, wherever it is that we are, that we'll truly trust God, put our confidence in Him, and as a result, we'll follow Him, we'll obey Him, we'll cling to Him, that we'll rest in Him. God calls us to trust, and it's a solid basis, but will you respond in faith and trust? Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, Lord, You call us to trust You in everything. And Father, that has a solid basis. You are the God who spoke everything into existence, who rules over all things. Father, You are greater than the nations and empires. Father, You intervene. You're worthy of our trust. Lord, may we trust You in our life and in our circumstances today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a good day today, but even if today is not what we would normally consider a good day per se, I hope that you're able to walk in the strength and the confidence of the Lord because your trust is in Him, that you will cling to Him, that you'll follow Him, that you'll see Him work and move to sustain you, guide you, open doors, deliver you, but that you'll walk in the confidence and the joy of trusting the Lord.